Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260-week, five-year-long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 3 of week number 37, studying Mark chapter 9. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. You will find at least 10 free resources there, including audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, IGH free, to this phone number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Remember, all of the recorded lessons in this IGH 260 series are always available to freely listen to and or freely download at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Tune in again today and every day. Let's continue our study of the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. In our last broadcast, we were still discussing the opening verses of Mark 9. We take up our study at that point, Mark chapter 9, verse 1, the transition from Mark chapter 8 to Mark chapter 9. In the closing verses of Mark 8, Jesus was speaking to the disciples and the people that he called to himself, Mark 8, 34 and following. As Mark 9 opens, Jesus continued to speak to that same audience. Jesus told this audience that some of them would still be alive in order to see the kingdom of God present with power. What does that mean? What kingdom? What was it going to be like? How would they see it? When would they see it? What does it mean to say that they would see the kingdom of God present or come with power? For better or for worse, Jesus did not stop to explain what he meant, not at that very moment. As Mark 9 continues, starting in the very next verse, almost everything changes. The time will be different. Mark 9:2 says that after 6 days, the people will be different. Mark 9:2 says that Jesus went with Peter, James, and John, not all of the disciples, and not with those whom Jesus called to himself in Mark 8:34. The place would be different. Mark 9:2 says that Jesus took them to a high mountain. And finally, the subject itself changes. Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah appeared talking with Jesus. God spoke, saying that Jesus was his beloved son. Afterward, only Jesus remained. The point? Whatever Jesus intended when he spoke about the kingdom of God present with power, it was not fully explained as Mark 9 moves forward. Though Jesus does not stop and explain everything about the kingdom in the opening verse of Mark 9, sufficient information has been presented in the immediately preceding context and throughout Mark's gospel to this point that we are able, at the very least, to grab so much more about the kingdom than what Jesus said in this particular verse. The words kingdom of, usually followed by the word heaven, as in kingdom of heaven, or by the name of God, as in the expression kingdom of God, appears some 109 times throughout the Second Covenant. As we observed in our studies of Matthew's Gospel, a very First Testament kingdom-centric narrative, the expression appears more times there than in any other account, 39 times in fact. It appears in Luke's record 33 times. That sounds close to Matthew, but Matthew uses the expression 1.68 times per 1,000 words, and Luke 1.3 times per 1,000 words. That makes Matthew's word frequency about 29% greater than Luke. Mark's narrative uses the expression 16 times, the third most frequent in the New Testament books. Though Mark uses the term less than half the number of times when compared to Matthew, his usage in hits per thousand at 1.08 actually amounts to a bit more than 64% of what Matthew does. Thus far in Mark, we have seen the kingdom of used in the following ways. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, in Mark 1:14 and 15, we read, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The expression kingdom of God appears twice in these two verses. Jesus, when he was explaining the nature of parables to his disciples, connected the understanding of a specific parable with an understanding of, that is, a knowledge of, God's kingdom. We see that in Mark 4:11. "And he," Jesus, "and he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables.'" In one of those parables, Jesus, using the seed sowing model for the second time in the chapter, said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Mark 4:26. Four verses later, in yet another parable and another kingdom of God reference in that same chapter, Jesus spoke, saying, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it?" Mark 4:20. The next two occurrences, the last ones that we will specifically cite here, occur in Mark chapter 9, our present study. First, the one that we are currently discussing, Mark chapter 9, verse 1, where Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." And then second, near the end of the chapter, when Jesus talked about the necessary sacrifices that his kingdom disciples would have to make, we read this, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." That's Mark 9:47. There are nine other kingdom of references in the rest of Mark's gospel. We note only their chapter and verse locations without citing them in full. There are five in Mark 10, all kingdom of God texts, verse 14, 15, 23, 24, and 25. There's one in Mark chapter 11, verse 10, a kingdom of our father David passage. And the last three, all kingdom of God texts, one in Mark 12:24, one in Mark 14:25, and finally, one in Mark 15:43. We stated that Jesus does not stop and fully explain what he meant in Mark 9:1 when he said that some standing there and listening to his message on that occasion would still be alive when the kingdom of God comes with power. But if we take a few moments to understand the broader context going back into Mark 8 and then look forward a bit to the end of Mark 9, we will get a greater, if still incomplete, sense of what Jesus' audience would eventually see. We should, though, make reference to one previous context earlier in Mark, in the very first chapter, in fact, before we continue with our context study of Mark 8 and Mark 9. We cited this passage a few moments ago, but we need to mention it again. Mark 1:14 and 15 marks the start of Jesus' public ministry. John was just imprisoned, verse 14. Jesus went to Galilee, where his ministry was about to begin, also verse 14. In Galilee, Jesus would soon be preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, again, verse 14. Jesus' message, his preaching, was gospel, or good news, and it was good news about God's kingdom. That all sounds quite positive, and it was then, and it remains so today. But there's more to it than that. Mark 1:14 tells us what Jesus would be preaching, the gospel of the kingdom of God. But in the next verse, Mark 1:15, we witness the reality of his preaching, not just the anticipation of it. Jesus was at that time and going forward saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." These two verses, twice mentioning the kingdom of God, once in anticipation and then once in fulfillment, have a lot to say about how we understand what Jesus meant in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. That is, that some standing and listening to Jesus on that occasion would actually see God's kingdom come with power. Consider these thoughts about the first kingdom of God passage in Mark. First, it was the message that Jesus began his ministry with. Matthew chapter 4's parallel account starts at the same point in time and place and with the same message, Matthew 4 verse 11. Luke's account tells us that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee and that Jesus began to teach in their synagogues, Luke 4, 14 and 15. The synagogue teaching here repeats what we first learned in Matthew 4, 23 and following. But Luke does not say anything about the gospel of the kingdom message that we find in both Matthew and Mark, not in this immediate passage anyway. Second, Jesus' message was not just about the kingdom of God. It was about the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. We often associate Jesus, his divine sonship and his divine mission, as the core, as the center of God's heavenly kingdom. We are not wrong to do so. But Jesus' deity and Jesus' mission cannot be separated, not biblically anyway, from the good news of the kingdom. And Mark's not the only one to use the words gospel or good news in connection with the coming kingdom. We just noted that Luke, though he does not use the expression gospel of the kingdom in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 of his account, still addresses something significant about Jesus' early ministry by telling us that he, Jesus, taught in their synagogues, meaning that Jesus taught in the synagogues of Galilee. In Matthew's account, starting in 4:23, we also see that Jesus began his ministry by teaching in Galilean synagogues. But Matthew tells us what Jesus taught in those synagogues. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 9. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.